So that is what I want to do this morning. I want to help us to really understand God's heart. And so if you think I've prayed, I just like to pray. In fact, I could just do praying all morning and I'd be fine. So if you just want to be quiet just for 2 minutes, we just say, God, we just pray that you would prepare our hearts. I pray that, lovely Jesus, you do this glorious work within us. And Holy Spirit, you also do this glorious work within us. And Father, I just want to say that you got a hold of our hearts that were so hard. And by your power, you made them all soft. And you made us respond to you, lovely Jesus, and your wonderful work at the cross. And we say, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you'd keep us in this glorious place this morning of just understanding all the glory and the majesty of heaven as we just come just share these scriptures, Lord, together. We just pray that in your precious name. Amen. So I just want to share with you. So this is how it happens with me. Just God gave me just a small piece of scripture, and then he started unpacking it, and I started reading around it. And I felt that God said to me, don't read anymore, because you can read a lot of other people's stories, other people's testimonies. And God said, you share from how I've affected your heart. So I'm going to share some things that God has been doing with me. I'm going to share some scripture with us. But this was the scripture that God gave me, and it's in Hosea. And I'm just going to read you first this, the book of Hosea, what it's about. And this is in the Message. And sometimes I love the Message because it says it so plainly. It said, Hosea is the prophet of love, but not love as we imagine or fantasize it. He was a parable of God's love for his people lived out as God revealed and enacted it, a lived parable. It is an astonishing story. A prophet commanded to marry a common whore and have children with her. It is even more astonishing message that God loves us in just this way. He goes after us at our worst. He keeps after us until he gets us. And he makes lovers of men and women who know nothing of real love. How glorious is that? And I just want to say today that what I'm going to share with you, I want you to understand two different things. I want you to understand what is condemnation. So condemnation comes from the enemy, and it tells us that we're no good. And conviction from God always moves us and propels us forward. So I want, when I speak to you today, I want you to hear what God is saying to you to move you forward. And so it's not condemning you, that's of the enemy, but God is coming to convict us and to challenge us this morning into the things of God. And so the scripture that I want to start off with is from Hosea, and it's Hosea 10, and it's verse 12, and it says, sow for yourself righteousness and reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. And you see, God needs for us to keep our hearts really soft. And if you understand about fallow ground is ground that has laid bare for so long, but it's been ground that once bore fruit, but it's got hard and compacted, and there's thistles and weeds growing through it. And then it needs a plow to go really, really deep into it to make it soft again. And I just felt like God just started to speak to me through this scripture about our hearts, how we need to keep our hearts really soft. And God is preparing for us for something amazing. He's getting our hearts ready for just the things that he set of promise to come over our lives and the life of the church. So when Dominic talks about gifting, we've all been called and for a reason, and we've all been given a gift so we can operate in it. And to operate in it, we need to know God's heart. So you just can't open a gift and take it out. That's our gift. Mine's maybe prophecy or helps or Dave teaching or Sonia, she hears prophetically. Whatever it is for anybody, Pete with his teaching, whatever it is, you can't just do it. You need God's heart to be able to do it. So you can't just be a teacher without God's heart. You need the heart of God to be able to help you to teach. I've heard so many preachers and teachers, and they've got no heart. They've got no yearning. They don't know what Teresa started singing about that heartbeat of heaven, that heart of Jesus. And so that's what I want to really encourage you in today. So I'm just going to go through some things that hopefully will really help you. And I don't normally, so if you know me, like I'm normally quite crazy, I'm all over the place, I'm like getting hyper excited. But I felt like God said to me, slow down. Slow down. Because these are some things that are very important to us. These are some of the things that are actually radically going to change them if only we would allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate us and speak really deep into our hearts, and that what he challenges we'd do. So the first thing that I felt that God was saying, how our hearts get hard. So these are some of the things that how our hearts get very hard. It's the first one that I wrote down. When we have a lack of intimacy with the God of heaven. So I'm telling you really seriously, when God has stopped being your first love, and he has stopped being your focus and your attention, and on a morning when you wake, he's not your first thought. You've got other thoughts going on. If Jesus is not the first thought in your waking moment, we usually start to think about us and our issues and our problems. But when we put Jesus first, and when we want to have this heart connection to love him and worship him and adore him, let me tell you, our hearts stay soft. But if you get out of that practice, and it is, we need to make a habit of reading God's word and coming to God. If you think about something that God's done, so God has done this glorious thing when we were saved, when we came into relationship with Jesus. God got hold of our hearts of stone and he turned them into a heart of flesh. And he continues to do that. So it's not only a once and for all that he did when we were saved. He continues to do that with our hearts. And we've got to keep our hearts soft all the time, because if we get hard, we won't hear what God is saying. And so this being intimate with God, for me, and everybody who knows me, if they say anything about, what does Ange talk about all the time? They all say intimacy. She's always talking about a relationship with God, because for me, it's the most precious thing. It's Dave's birthday today, and I wrote in his card, and sorry to embarrass you, Dave. So we always write each other things, because, and our Jordan knows, he always writes things in a card, and people who know me know that words are more precious than gifts. So Dave always writes something, and I always write something to him. So I wrote in his card that he was the best treasure that God had for me, that he gave me Dave. But I want to tell you, above Dave, far above Dave, that God is the greatest treasure in my life, that Jesus is the most precious person. Jesus is dwelling in here, and I do not want to do anything to spoil that relationship with him. Nothing at all. And so he is my treasure. He's precious to me. And so when he stops being your treasure and he stops being the most precious thing in your life, you'll find you start to look for other things that are your treasures. You'll start to look for other things that are precious to you, and you won't go to the one who is the most precious person, and that is Jesus Christ. And your hearts will get hard. Let me tell you, if you don't do that, and reading God's word, oh, let me tell you, I can't even tell you, it's the most precious thing you ever do. And so this scripture in Revelations, where it says this, so it's Revelations 2, and it's verse 4, and he's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent," that is the key, "and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove the lampstands from its place unless you repent." So the key to keeping your heart really soft, and if you have lost your first love, God is saying this word, repent. And that isn't about all crying and mourning and getting down on your knees and making a right song and dancing about it all. It's meaning a turning around. It's meaning a choosing with your will and your mind that that's what you're going to do. And so I would encourage you, pursue Jesus with great intention. So let him be the first love, and let him come and do something glorious in your heart, because he'll tell you lovely things. I'm just watching gorgeous Faith's face. She's listening to everything I'm saying. We're a little darling. So the second one, the things that cause our hearts to get hardened was the same thing that happened with the children of Israel, why the prophet Hosea had to come and speak to him. To tell the people, because they had become unfaithful lovers. They'd started to have different things that they loved greater than God, and it's what the Bible calls idols. And so if you start to get idols in your life, that your family becomes the idol, your home becomes the idol, material things become an idol, money becomes an idol. If you get all these things, your holidays become the idol. We know people that save up all year, all the money, and it's like the holiday, it's like, and I think to myself, it's 2 weeks of the year. They like make such a song and dance about it, and don't get me wrong, it's wonderful to go away. We all need a rest. But don't make it your thing where it's all your money gets poured into it. Our money's meant to be poured into God's kingdom, not into blooming holidays. And so they become unfaithful lovers. And I'm going to tell you the biggest idol that comes. And please don't do this thing. And I'm going to speak about it in a minute. Don't start to think to yourself, well, that isn't me. Allow the Holy Spirit and ask God today, is that me? But the biggest idol of all is self. And you see it all in this country. You see it in the world. You see it, we see it, me and Dave, as we're walking about. We see people so absorbed in themselves that they're taking selfies. Do you know what they are? Faith, selfies, you know, get your phone up there, and the next thing they're doing a bit of a pout and a pose, and then they're sending it on Instagram or Twitter or any of those things, and people are getting so absorbed in themselves, and they're making a little god out of themselves. It's weird. I just find it all very strange personally, but it's like what I call, and I can remember one speaking on it, we have a holy trinity, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we make an unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. And you will know that it's coming in. You will know that it's coming into your life. And I know that it's a bit in this church, let me tell you. And it's not condemning you, it's bringing a conviction to you. So, if you're intimate with Jesus and if you love him, so like we, if you ever, just stand up, Jacob. If you ever hear Jacob pray, so not many people will, because they have maybe not heard him in a prayer meeting. But out of this man's mouth, it can't stop. It's like wells of praise come out of him. He remembers all that Jesus did on the cross. He remembers that he was a man in darkness. He remembers Jesus shining his light on him. He remembers that day that he was transformed. And out comes this pouring of great love. And so, because prayer is the most important thing to him, praising God is the most precious thing. Now, when we come to prayer meetings, and we have one a month, let me tell you, there's a couple of things it says when revival is coming, or when there's a change, or the move of God's Spirit, and he prays this prayer. I pray, God, that there'll be people crawling over themselves to get into this place. Well, when revival comes and when there's a move of God, the people's hearts all change and they can't wait to get to the prayer meetings, to get down on the knees, to shout out to their God for revival on the earth when there's a lost world and there's people dying. Yet, oh, we need a rest. Oh, it's my time. Oh, I don't feel like going to the prayer meeting tonight. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about what he's able to do. And so our prayer meetings should be heaving. If you've got blooming kids and you've got nowhere to bring them in. Don't make excuses. Please don't make excuses. Dominic charged us not to do that. Oh, we're tired. Let me tell you, when I come to, sometimes I do think that. The truth is, because we've got to be in the reality, Sunday, 6 o'clock, but it's once a month, for goodness sake. I do think to myself, I've got all settled, and I've been a bit sleepy, and I think, oh no, the prayer meeting. But the minute I get in this door, I'm revved up. Jesus, we're coming to pray to our Jesus. Our Jesus who's rescued us. Our Jesus who is relentless with his love for us. Oh, Jesus who absolutely loves us with extravagant, faithful love. This is our Jesus. He's our God. And we should be running there. Let's pray. Let's ask our Jesus, the Jesus who we pray to. He answers our prayers. He answers our prayers. So please don't do this thing, because God is saying this. Don't keep making excuses. Don't get on the wrong train. Don't be blooming at home in York when it was at York or Leeds. It's getting me muddled up. When you should be in Leeds. Don't be in the wrong place. Don't camp in the wrong mindset. So that's what God was saying through just his spoke. Don't camp in the wrong mindsets. We don't want to camp in this mindset of gathering to ourselves. It's me, it's mine, it's dee-dee-dee. And then we should be camping in this mindset of Christ Jesus that says, give it away. Go give some of your time away. Go give some of your love away. Go give some of your money away. That's what camping in the right mindset means. It means giving. When you camp in the wrong mindset, what we do is gather to ourselves, and it's wrong. So that's a challenge to you. It's not a condemnation. It's a challenge to you. So you need to apply that to your heart. Where am I? Why don't I go? Is it me, myself and I, why I don't go? Or is there other genuine things? And is there something we could do to work it if we've got children where one of us comes and the other stays at home? Let me tell you, you won't feel tired when you go out. You'll feel amazing. So we did last week. It was amazing. The other one is this. It's about what hardens our heart, a religious spirit. Now, people are maybe not going to like this, what I'm going to say, but it's horrible. It really does. When we get this kind of religiousness about us, and that is when we don't apply the word of God to ourselves, we apply it to somebody else who's in the church. So as I'm talking, you'll know if you've got a religious spirit. So you'll either be thinking of your husband or wife sat next to you. By gum, they need to listen to this talk. Oh, I was talking to her the other day. Doesn't she need to hear this talk? That is a religious spirit. It becomes very judgmental. It doesn't apply the word of God to your heart, but it applies it to somebody else's heart. I mean, how bizarre is that? And so God doesn't want that, and it will make your heart very, very hard. And there should be we shouldn't be analysing and judging anybody in the church. That's not what we're about. I was speaking to Sharon and she's in here, but Alan's there, and we're talking to Alan this week. I said, Alan, you are my brother. He's my brother. Pam, you're my sister. I've got mums and dads. I've got brothers and sisters. I've got family here. And the last thing we should do is standing on judgment on anybody. And so we've got to be careful what comes out of our mouths. That first of all, and check yourself, because you'll know that you have a religious spirit if you apply it to somebody else. Out of our mouth, it says this in Matthew, what did I say, Ralph? 33, yeah. It says, either make, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and by gum, were they religious? They tried to trip Jesus up all the time. And Jesus, really, don't think Jesus was all meek and mind. For goodness sake, listen to this, it's great. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad. This is what Jesus is saying to them. And it's, for the tree is known by its fruit. So, like, Jesus used this analogy of trees, and you know somebody who is saved because there's good fruit on the tree, but he knew that there was blooming horrible fruit on their trees. And he says to them, you brood of vipers. Well, does that not kind of like get you out of the mode, Jesus meek and mild? You brood of vipers, you religious lot, he was saying to them, you no marks, whatever he was saying to you. How can you speak good when you are evil? Because Jesus knew the Pharisees were not good in their hearts. And out of his evil treasure brings an evil person. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh my word, it's a massive thing. You can hear your mouth. So God has challenged me, I don't know how many times on this. You will hear your mouth, and so all listen carefully, it's not good. So when it's not good and it's gone hard, you start to be critical, you start to be judgmental, you start to say things that are very unkind, it pours out of you, doesn't it? And God is saying, don't let it happen. Don't do that. It's not good. And so you can check your heart. These are some of the things that God has shown me, that how I can check my heart and keep it really soft. So if that's you, and you know that you've started to be judgmental, critical, that you don't apply the scripture to yourself, you're thinking about somebody else, God says this word, repent. And what you do is it'll break up the hardness of your heart. So this is a very interesting one. So I've done three, so I'm on four now. So, and can I encourage you? I understand why people don't bring Bibles to church, because usually the scriptures are up on the screen and people have the phones. But what I want to really encourage you, like Grace is doing, bring something to take some notes, because when we go out of here, sometimes people have forgotten all about what's been said on a Sunday morning. I really want to encourage you to do that. Get a book and start taking notes. So you go home, and what I do is I put boxes around things, stars, and if I think the Holy Spirit is saying something to me, what I do is I go home and then I start to pray it in. I start to say, God, when you were speaking to this, by the power of your spirit, what do I need to change? What can you teach me? So this is the next one. So not having, and this is going to maybe get up some people's backs, not having a sensitivity to sin. So now what I mean by this, it's a big thing. What I mean by this is not an overemphasis on sin. We have been forgiven, past, present, and future. That is what God has done. When we came to Jesus with repentance and we believed within faith, when he got hold of our heart and changed us. But let me tell you, so there was a glorious thing happened with our hearts, and a glorious thing that Jesus did on the cross. And he said, it is finished. But then scripture says specifically that we have got to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. So he says, choose to be holy as I am holy. So we know, all of us, that I have not arrived there. So I have been through a little process where God has, because I've been shouting out for more and I've been shouting out for a deeper sense of God's presence, the plow, I've had to get the plow deeper into my heart. And so I've asked God to do that, because it says, break up your fallow ground. It doesn't say God's going to break up your fallow ground. It says that you break up your fallow ground. And what you have to do with that is acknowledge and face yourself of who you really are. No hiding. What Grace spoke about was glorious. She spoke about honesty. So face yourself of who you are and then respond to the Holy Spirit. That's how you break up the fallow ground. So that's what you do to break up the hardness. You face yourself, actually, because God tells you something, you face yourself, and then you respond to what God has said. So there's a couple of things. So this is, I'm not saying this to anybody else here. So what God has said to me maybe won't apply to you. So this is what I do. So this is what I did. So I do all the things that I did for church. And then I didn't know Angela was like that. Anyway, I don't mind what you think, because God loves me and I know that he does. So anyway, I used to do all the things that I needed to do for church. I'd get the tea ready and then I'd do this nonsense thing, and it was habitual. You know what it's like? You want to crash, so you crash in front of the telly. I mean, most of us do this. So I used to crash in front of the telly. So I'd start probably 5:30, and don't laugh at me, please. I'd watch Neighbours. And I know that it's pathetic. And David come in and say, what are you watching that rubbish for? And he would say, I'm not watching it, which I wasn't. I said, I'm just watching a bit of rubbish to chill my mind out. So that was that. Then it would go on to 7:00, and I'd go, Emmerdale Farm. So remember, you're not meant to be judging me. And so it'd go Emmerdale Farm. And then I'd maybe watch a Coronation Street. Well, by the time I'd gone ding, 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 I'd probably done maybe 2-3 hours of a bit of rubbish. And it's very easy to do. It absolutely is very, very easy to do about 3 hours of rubbish. So I'm walking along this day, so I'm always praying this prayer, Lord, whatever you want to say to me, Holy Spirit, come, whatever you want to say to me. And this is what God said to me. You are getting desensitized to sin. Well, I thought, whoa. And then I said to God, well, how am I doing that, God? And God just showed me sitting and watching all these programs, and really, they're a filth. That's what God showed me. They're filthy. So they've got homosexuality, lesbians, wet vicars who are gay. They've got, they've just got all sorts in them. They're absolutely, and God said, you are getting desensitized to sin. And because I'd asked God and I got down on my knees, so this is what it is having a sensitivity to sin. It's not this preoccupation with sin, but it's saying, I got down on my knees and this is what I prayed. Jesus, I want to look like you. I want to sound like you and I want to act like you. So how could my eyes be gazing on those things if I wanted to look like Jesus? Because he's living in me, and he's looking at those things at the same time as I'm looking at them. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like somewhere God arrested my attention. And so I just repented straight away, and I come home and I said to Dave, I'm not watching that rubbish anymore. Jordan will be like, hallelujah, for goodness sake. Because he didn't really watch telly, he's a reader. And I said to Dave, do you know, I've cleaned cupboards, I've read loads more of my Bible, I read a lot of my Bible anyway, but I've had loads more time. I said, I've got all this time, I've been spending all this time senselessly. And we become like zombies, don't we? We sit there and we're like zombified looking at a screen. And God's saying, it was like as if I've got copious amounts time. Anyway. That I am not saying that to you. that's for the Holy Spirit to speak to you about those things. So I'm not saying to you, this is what you all need to do now, turn the tellies off, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm not saying I don't watch any TV, but I've started to be selective of what I'm watching. And so what I did, I went with Mary, and we went to the charity shop, and I said, oh, we'll get some books. I said, if not reading telly, I watch read a bit of a romance. So what did I do? I picked this book up, and when I got it, oh, it was nothing in it, but it just was going over her life, and she said, and it was about a son that was gay. And I just thought, well, I've just said to God, I'm not watching that, and he's saying, get desensitized. Be careful what you read. Because what we read and what comes in our eyes, it stays in our head. And then it's hard to get it out. And then we wonder why our hearts aren't soft. We wonder why when we think about sin and the Holy Spirit's saying about sin, he can't penetrate our hearts. And he can't tell us the things that mean something. It's because of this. And so in Ephesians, I just want to give everything with some scripture. So in Ephesians, which is my favourite book, that I absolutely love, if I can find it. So Ephesians, if you've ever seen my, it's written on, scribbled on, I write down the sides of it. But Ephesians, Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. If you think, if you applied that to your lives on a daily basis, how that would change everything. So we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So people talk about an open heaven. Yes, we do. We have an open heaven. We have... Jesus did that at the cross. But there are times in our life, so the Holy Spirit helps us to see this open heaven. And if you're wondering why there's not a lot of joy and there's not a lot of power, it may be because you have grieved the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does not leave us, but he steps aside his manifest presence from us till we shout out and we know that we feel in such a mess. And I don't know how many times I'll ask you the question, has that happened to you? You sit, think to yourself, I feel so lost. My heart feels all over the... I know there's something going on with me, but I just don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is very clearly. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has taken a little sidestep from you. Until you understand this thing, repent. And understand that we have to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, it's the scripture says. That the Bible tells us, put off, put on. It doesn't say get all mournful about. It doesn't say even pray. It just says, this is who you are. You are this new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Live like your new children. Speak like you're those children. Act like you're those children. And that's what it does. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. So this bad tree, good tree, what happens is when we keep our hearts sensitive, not obsessed with sin, but sensitive to not grieving the Holy Spirit, you get all the joy and all the power flowing through your life, because this is what comes flowing out of you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The flow out of you. And so you know when your heart's hard, because there's nothing flowing out of you. And so all those things, kindness is a wonderful thing. I don't know where it says, but I think it says it in 2 Peter. It says in 2 Peter, especially to the husbands, we like to get one over on the bed. So to the husbands, it says to be about being understanding to your wives so that your prayers will not go unhindered. So that means that sometimes our prayers are going unhindered somewhere. Hindered. And because the Bible is telling us husbands, be kind to your wives, understand them. So if they're telling you that they're tired, if they're telling you that they've got problems, understand them. Be kind to them. Let kindness flow from you. I've got a good one, so he's all right. So the next one, I say this to Dave, he's really funny. So sometimes he does this thing and he talks to me like he winds me up. And this is what I say to him. Dave, I say, you're my husband, not my mate. And I said, talk to me like I'm your wife. And I'm not your mate, but talk to me gently, talk to me kindly. Because when they start, Jordan, Dave, and our Matthew all come round, I don't know what it is about them, but they're set on me. And they start winding me up. Come on, mother, get in the kitchen. We know where your place is. Get some food. They do this winding. They're only playing and winding. But, you know, if you're not in the mood, it doesn't half incense you. Don't speak to your wives like that. They're not your skivvy. They're not your slave. They're not meant to be dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. They're meant to be kind to them so that your prayers won't be stopped from heaven. So just a little thingy in the thingy. So I don't know what I'm saying. I'm getting to the end and I'm getting tired now. Right. So the next one is... Am I going on, Dave? So the next one, getting words and hearing talks like this, but ignoring them. That's what makes your hard heart. So be sensitive, respond to what God is saying and face yourself. And if you're shouting for more, let the plow go a little bit deeper. Don't be superficial Christians, not good. And the last one, which very importantly that I felt God saying, what makes our hearts hard is, this is the last thing, is if they've been damaged. So because of life, because of relationships, our best times, our worst times, as Dave says, that we can get our hearts damaged. And so we can be ill-treated, we can be rejected, we can have a sense of loss, a sense of trauma, a sense of disappointments, a sense that fears come and anxieties come. And our hearts get sometimes broken. But if we don't give that brokenness to God, let me tell you, our hearts just get hardened. We press down somewhere. And this is what I felt that God said the key is. So when we get hurt, so we've all, maybe not everybody has great marriages, and some people have a couple of marriages. And but you have things from other relationships that have broken you and hurt you. And if you, like I say, you don't give these hurts to God and you start to do the thing is that you start to protect your heart and you start to get independent from God and you start to take up this big thing. You start to take up control because your heart's been messed up. You're not going to let anybody else do it to you again. And you don't realize that your heart starts to get hardened. And so that's a massive thing. If you have been hurt, if you've had hurts, that sometimes you can forgive or repent, and it still doesn't change anything. But the thing that we need to repent from is control. We need to repent from independency. We need to repent from protecting our own hearts. Because if we do that, let me tell you, we become very defensive, and it's not good. And so all I want to say in ending it is let's all be these people. I hope some of those things have helped you. I don't say anything to you without God doing something with me. I'm not somebody who stands up here and speaks, and I don't ask God to do something in my heart, because I am not a Pharisee. I know that I make a lot of mistakes and I get a lot of things upside down, but my heart is absolutely for God's heart and to hear God's heartbeat. And so I hope that's your heart also. I just think we need a little bit of quiet. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I've asked Ralph to put this song on, and I just... it's only 12:05, so I didn't do too bad. I think I've spoke longer, so I apologise. But I'll just, what I want you to do is, so when I've had difficulty and I couldn't get over some issues that I'd got, because I knew my heart was in a bit of a mess about something one day, and I needed to go to somebody. I needed somebody to pray with me. I needed to talk it out with somebody. We can't always do something on our own. I want to tell you that. We're not meant to be like that. We're a church and a body, and we're meant to be able to love people. And if you don't trust people in this church, then you have to understand your heart's got a bit messy, because we should trust each other. So you need to maybe let something go, because we should trust one another. And so sometimes we need each other. So let's just play this song. And if you've got something specifically that you know God's saying and you would like us to pray, come out and we'll pray for you. And if you just want to be quiet, be quiet. And if you want to go home, you're very free to go home. And bless you all.